compromise on tax cuts and unemployment benefits.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We'll get to the global perspective in just a moment. First, President Obama said last night, in exchange for extending unemployment benefits and deepening tax cuts for the middle class, he will allow tax cuts for the highest-earning Americans to continue for 2 years. What will the middle class get? From Washington, here's Marketplace's David Gura.
Here's what the White House gets, a 13-month extension of emergency jobless benefits for Americans who've been unemployed the longest. Some tax credits in the economic stimulus package that were set to expire at the end of the year won't. The plan calls for a 2% cut on payroll taxes for every American in 2011. That'd be on the taxes used to fund Social Security. And it would replace the $400 per person making work pay tax credit for low and middle income Americans. With the deal, an individual making, say, $40,000 a year would save about $800. Leaders may have taken a cue from the president's deficit commission. The group released its report on how to cut the U.S. debt last year. And one of its members, economist Alice Rivlin, wanted a payroll tax holiday.
We need to find something right away that will put money in people's pockets. And a payroll tax holiday would mean money for everybody who earns wages and their employers.
Economists say a tax credit would create an incentive to spend. Although this isn't a holiday, it is a significant cut. Leaders of both parties will discuss the deal with Congress today. They're hoping to finalize it by the end of the year. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Now to the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. The company that owned the oil rig, which exploded in the Gulf of Mexico, leading to the BP oil disaster, had a near miss in Europe just 4 months before. From London, the BBC's John Bithrie looks at a leaked report.
The report details an incident last December on a rig off the British coast. This time, the rig wasn't owned by BP. Instead, it was a Shell oil facility. But the rig was operated by the same company as in the Gulf of Mexico, Transocean. The report says engineers may have misinterpreted key indicators that pressure was building up, leading to a surge of oil and gas. Luckily, unlike in the Gulf of Mexico, the blowout preventer worked. Chairman of the United Kingdom's Parliamentary Energy Committee, Tim Yeo, says the report shows that things could have become as bad as they did in the Gulf of Mexico.
It's not clear that this was something which had been properly prepared for, and it may well have been more luck than judgment that got this under control. We don't want to see people working without the necessary kit, without proper training or procedures, and the result of that being a major spill.
Transocean says it reported the incident to safety authorities, but the revelation is sure to raise new concerns about how to prevent another Deepwater Horizon. In London, I'm the BBC's John Bithrie for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are up at the moment. That's as Eurozone countries have yet to rule out increasing the sovereign debt bailout fund there. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow gave back about 20 points to end the day at 11,362.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, helping doctors, lawyers, and small business owners monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. ReputationDefender.com. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at Vanguard.com/public radio. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud.
A new survey by the Brookings Institution called the Global Metro Monitor highlights 150 of the world's biggest metro areas. It looks at how those areas were doing before and after the global economic downturn. Alan Berube is a senior fellow and research director of the Metropolitan Policy Program at Brookings. He's with us from Washington. Alan, welcome to Marketplace.
Hi, Steve. Good to be with you.
What does this examination say about the effects of the Great Recession?
Well, I think it's saying that it's an uneven recession and recovery worldwide when you look at these major metropolitan economies around the globe.
How do American cities fare in these comparisons?
There were a few American cities that really stood out as being among the top performing economies worldwide, places like Las Vegas, Phoenix, Charlotte. We all know what the recession did to some of these places. However, overall, I'd say U.S. cities are rebounding slightly better than their European counterparts.
You mentioned Las Vegas and some of these other Sunbelt cities. What happened in Vegas? Because I noticed it was ranked globally as 14th. And then the Great Recession hit, and it nosedove to 146th out of 150 cities, metro areas that you guys covered.
It's an economy that was really more oriented towards consumption than any other American economy or perhaps any economy worldwide. So it just suggests that given the depth of the recession there, it could be a long and slow road to recovery for that regional economy.
Las Vegas, obviously a huge shift. Do the cities with these big shifts have anything in common?
Well, we saw shifts not unlike what was going on in Vegas in Dublin, Barcelona, Madrid, and some Eastern European capitals, Riga, Latvia, all had a similar sort of asset bubble in the run-up to the recession that when it popped, sent those metropolitan areas really from the top of our rankings to the very bottom.
If I were looking to move to the place today with the most opportunities, anywhere across the globe, where would I go?
You might go to Asia. You might go to places like Shanghai or Mumbai, or you might go to Latin America, cities like Sao Paulo or Lima. Meanwhile, U.S. and European cities are rebounding at very different rates. So I think the rankings may shift quite a bit if we come back 2 years from now and take a look at economic growth at the city level again.
Alan Berube, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Alan, thanks.
Great. Thanks very much, Steve.
And for a city slideshow, head on over to marketplace.org. Finally, you know the routine. You're late for work, inside an elevator, and waiting for the door to close. No one else is coming, but that door stays open. So you hit the door close button. The folks at PBS's Nova examined whether those buttons even work at all. And the only thing they came up with is yes and no. Some engineers say the buttons do work, but others claim most of those buttons are a sham and make the passenger feel like they're being more proactive. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
A new startup connects busy professionals with nonprofits that need their experience.
I wanted to have an opportunity to volunteer what I was building every day, which were my financial skills.
I'm Bob Moon. That story and charities in the social media age kick off our annual philanthropy series next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.